Time for us to talk basketball, and we welcome in our friend John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty well, thanks. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Just watching the thunderstorms roll by.
Oh, my. Oh, my. the big storm is not going to come to Boston, and that is the whole Kevin Durant saga. You called this right from the get-go. It was much ado about nothing, and now he's back in Brooklyn.
First of all, expert transition. That's why you're a pro. the Kevin Durant saga is done, and I never expected anything to come of this. I always thought it was a ploy. Nothing from the Celtics side anyway. I didn't know what was going to happen with Kevin Durant necessarily, but I knew that it wasn't going to happen in Boston. And I think some of the early discussions of what it might take to get him were used to try to kind of grease the skids and make somebody come out and try to give up a Scotty Barnes or give up a Brandon Ingram in a trade. But that never materialized. And so I think what happened with this resolution was that Brooklyn Nets said, look, we're not going to give in to this guy. He's 34. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to waste his time sitting out. He has no leverage. He's got 4 years left on his deal. We're not going to fire our coach because of this guy. We're not going to fire our GM because of this guy. We're going to take a stand. And they called his bluff, and he had to fold. That's a classic poker move. He played everything he could, and he never had anything in front of him. And so now he's going back to Brooklyn. And now we'll just see how this season goes and what's next, because I'm not entirely convinced that this is all over. But for now, he's going back to Brooklyn. They're going to start the season with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons as Nets.
So how good is this Brooklyn team if they miss their window of opportunity?
Well, I mean, I think they're still going to be pretty good. Obviously, if the you need Kyrie Irving to be engaged, you need Kevin Durant to be past this, and you need Ben Simmons to be on board with whatever they're trying to do, which is, I think at this point, you're going to be using him as a lot of center on offense and a lot of half-court offense, but point guard in transition. So if everybody's on board and they stay healthy and Kyrie plays ball, then they can be a really good team, because Kevin Durant is still really good, and Kyrie Irving can, if he's engaged, can be really good, and Ben Simmons has the potential to be very disruptive and their best defender right away. So that changes the dynamic there. There'll be a very, very tough obstacle in the East. That's already going to have Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Boston and Miami. Like that now adds another significant obstacle in front of the Celtics.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Jason Tatum gave an interview and talked about a number of things, including the condition of his wrist over the course of the last 2 months of the season. And as you pointed out, everybody knew there was a wrist issue, but we just didn't know what the details were.
Yeah, we asked him. I asked him specifically about the wrist, and he said, "Oh no, it's fine. I fell on it. It's fine. It just gets a little sore or whatever." So we kind of blew it off, and it turns out it was a non-displaced fracture, which, for people who don't understand what that is a little fracture, a little bit. The bone did break, but it didn't move. So it basically stays where it is, and it heals over, and eventually it's fine. But they gave him some cortisone shots to get past the pain, and I don't think it really impacted his play necessarily, but yeah, he was playing with a fractured wrist, and they never gave in to the details. They never gave out what the details were. So we just kind of had to say, well, Jason's wrist is hurting, and whatever it is, and hopefully it's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal moving forward. We just saw him in the Pro-Am in Seattle playing with no brace on the wrist. So I'm not putting any stock in Pro-Am results or anything like that. But if you're playing basketball and you were playing basketball with a thing on your wrist and now you're not, it means that he's probably feeling better.
In that interview, too, he talked about his reaction to losing in the finals. And as you said, this is probably a good thing going forward. The fact that it bothered him as much as it did speaks well for a team that really has to look within for improvement from its veteran players.
Yeah, I think internal improvement is going to be where this team gets back to the finals. Getting Malcolm Brogdon is nice. Getting Danilo Gallinari is nice. It's going to help. It shores up some holes. It really helps solidify the bench and gives them some depth. That's all nice. But Tatum, Brown, Smart, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, those guys all need to get better. And that internal improvement is going to drive their future success. So I've seen Tatum probably 100 times after losses. And most of the time, he just, you know, in the regular season, will say, hey, look, this is, it is what it is. You learn from it. You watch the film. You move on. Not to say that he's blasé about it, but he just is very willing to move on from the losses and from the wins, for that matter. Like, the wins feel good, but you still have to move on because that's the NBA. You just got to keep moving forward. If you kind of linger on the past, you're going to be in trouble. And so after the finals, the loss, I didn't know what I expected, but when I saw him as despondent as he was, you saw everything because there was no tomorrow. So you saw every bit of emotion, every bit of that pain, that kind of the loss of everything that you were working so hard for. So I liked that reaction. I liked the fact that he was so devastated, because when you hurt like that, when you're in that much pain, then you don't want to feel that again. You don't want to go through that again. So I would say that's something you want to feel, you want to be reminded of. It's almost like when, you know, you hear the coaches talk about, like, hey, when the other team wins a championship, I want you to watch. I want you to see them celebrate. Right. Because I want you to remember how that feels so you don't feel that again. I like that. And I think that will drive him competitively and should fuel him competitively moving forward.
One of the other ways they can improve is obviously to cut down on the turnovers. You've got some ideas of what Jaylen Brown could do to cut down on those TOs.
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen has some, you know, he needs to work on his ball handling a little bit, but he really needs to work on his decision-making. I think what we saw, especially in the playoffs, and this applies to Jason Tatum too a lot, but Jaylen has had a more kind of visible issue with this. But don't get too deep. Don't drive. Don't put your head down and say, hey, I'm going to make a play no matter what. And then when you get stopped, leave yourself without an outlet, because that ends up being a turnover. You have to be disciplined and say, I want to make a play, but then just go make a play. Don't say, I'm going to make a play and have that be code for, I'm going to go score the ball no matter what. You got to understand that if they're anticipating you driving and they drop back too far, it's okay to pull up for a 15-footer when you're Jaylen Brown. You can hit that shot consistently enough to make it an efficient shot. Also understand, where's the defense? Where's the help? Where are people sucking in? Is somebody losing a defender? Is somebody overcompensating for your drives? Find the outlets to pass. Make the pass that leads to the assist. Be willing to do that stuff. That will significantly cut down on his turnovers. Now, his turnover rate has been basically the same over the past 3 years. His turnovers are up because he's been used more. So the more touches, the number goes up. But he's still turning it over at about 11.5% of the time. Still too high. Get that down to 10. Get that down to under 10. And you've got now, we talk about Jaylen Brown getting to an all-NBA team and earning a Supermax contract. Turning the ball over less, getting that turnover percentage down, will be part of the formula for him doing that.
All right, John, I want to ask you, we're at summertime. You got a little bit of downtown here. You're still a downtime. You're still a busy guy. But what do you do to unwind? Are you a movie guy, a music guy? Or are you binge-watching Ozark? What do you do?
I don't like to sit around a lot. So I'm anything that gets me kind of outside. And so going out and, like, grilling, going out and hanging out in the yard, just chilling out and enjoying some of the sunshine, which we've had a lot too much of lately. But anything that just gets me outdoors is just great, because I know that we're going to be conserving sunlight in not too distant future. So I like to just go outside and just hang out and get to see my family and play with my nieces and nephews and just kind of spend time with people.
Soak it up while you can. We know what's coming.
Yeah, oh yeah. So those 4:30 p.m. sunsets are around the corner.
Absolutely. Well, John, we thank you as always. Hope you have a great week, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then. See you.
John Corrales talking basketball with us on Downtown.